From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment, the home edition. It's always good to have an old friend do the show, especially someone I haven't talked to in a very long time, who, when I last spoke to him, he was an Emmy contender. He is now an Emmy winner. The third season of his unusual and incredibly satisfying show, Barry, is about to start up on HBO. Of course, talking to Bill Hader. Bill, welcome back.
Hi, how are you?
This third season is just, I guess to jump into this, it really seems to be a season about people accepting responsibility on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of people realizing there's consequences. Yeah, I mean, that was definitely a thing when we started writing, the first day of writing season three. You know, you never kind of start with like themes, but one of the ideas tended to go towards consequences.
I was wondering how you sort of emotionally follow up the second season, which ended in a really kind of explosive way emotionally and physically, and just to make it really about almost all the main characters on the show, be it Barry or NoHo Hank or Sally, just having to sort of become in some way adult and accept responsibility for their actions, even to some extent, Gene Cousineau, played by Henry Winkler, everybody having to sort of say, oh, well, I have to sort of own up to who I am and what I've done.
Yeah, it's true. It's funny how you know, when you sit down to write these things and you go, okay, how do we not just keep repeating ourselves? When you have like a very concept-y kind of show, you know? So it's like, you say Hitman takes an acting class that has like a kind of a concept to it, or it's more concept-y. And then like the whole thing with the show is always trying to take the genre out of it, make it more about people, kind of bringing more of a level of humanity to it. And in doing that, the concept kind of slowly, you know, morphed. You know, and the first day of writing season three, I think one of the first things I said was like, well, let's get rid of the acting class. And that, you know, Hitman takes an acting class as part of the equation. So by taking that out, then everything else kind of wasn't connected to anything. It kind of freed us up, I think, a bit to really focus on the characters. And, you know, in doing so, I think it kind of gradually became about, yeah, consequences, forgiveness, you know, apologies, like all these things kind of came up very naturally.
It's so funny because it really felt almost kind of 12-step like in this way. Yeah. I mean, people kind of making amends.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny that it happened that way. I'm laughing because it's not until you do interviews like this that you really see it that way. And you're like, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, when you're writing it, you're so kind of in like, well, what would this person do next? What would Gene want here? Or you start to find interesting parallels in a scene where there's a scene where, you know, Gene and Barry are talking and Barry says, you know, we're very similar, you know, and we've both done bad things in our lives. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. And then you kind of like that then builds and becomes more of a through line. But yeah, you just saying 12-step. I'm like, oh yeah, why didn't we say that in the writer's room? That would have been much more easier. Like it's what we were kind of grappling at, you know? It's like you're always around it, but you never hit it.
But I just found myself thinking about just because the things that still make Barry who he is, like he's this innocent who has this incredible ability to read people. And there's a scene where, and I don't want to give too much away in this season for those who haven't seen it yet, but when he's talking to Gene, and he basically sort of reads what a bad actor he is, but I won't go into specifics. And I love that thing, no matter what he's going through, this sort of weather vane he has about being able to see who people are in ways that they can't is always there.
Yeah, and that he can't do that with himself necessarily. Or is that the question? You know, we're always, when you're writing these things, you're like, well, how self-aware is he? Because he thinks he's self-aware, but are you ever really self-aware? Or even if you are self-aware, do you stop making those same mistakes? No, not really. Like, how much denial is he in? How much, you know, there's a bunch of different kind of things like that come up that I think the thing that we always try not to do is answer the question. It's like you pose it. And then the interesting thing is writing scenes about it. And then maybe in that there's like a truth, but kind of like an absolute kind of thing never is that interesting.
Well, I don't know, because that self-awareness or that lack of self-awareness comes from the fact that he's always asking people to tell him what they think he is. I mean, he's looking for some kind of definition from other people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can kind of relate to that. There being a time in my life of kind of like not being sure of who you are and needing to be defined by other people or something. I understand that on some level. But again, where were you, Elvis? This would have been really helpful in the writer's room.
Nobody's ever said that. The 25 years doing the show, nobody's ever called me helpful before. I'm glad we got this on tape. But
I was like, why didn't we just have you sitting in the corner being like, oh, what's happening is this? Because we could never, if you watched me try to explain this to the writers, it would just be like, oh no, you know, it was like, I'm just flailing.
Really?
Not real. I mean, a little bit. You kind of flail around. You kind of, not flailing, but you kind of like, you're searching, you know, you're kind of saying, well, this has happened. Again, not to get anything away, but it's like, this has happened. So I always say, okay, if I was playing this character, here are the questions I would ask. And that's interesting to have in a writer's room. Because a lot of times writer's rooms, and I do the same thing, it becomes very plotty. Or you pitch things that are like really interesting scenes. Or like, oh my God, wouldn't it be cool if this, which I think is all great. But you have to balance that with the character. So I do think sometimes we'll find something really fun. And then I come in and kind of kill it by saying, well, if I'm playing Sally, you know, I'm kind of going like, what am I doing right now? Aren't I worried about X, Y, Z, or, you know, whatever. Maybe we get to another level. And then we do rehearsals, and then the actors have their chance at it. And the actors then bring it up to another level where they'll come up and say things. And we go, oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, let's try that.
What I'm thinking about, though, as you were talking about those things, is that how in some ways, like, immediate goals shift for people, but in a lot of ways that they don't for these characters. And, you know, what you're talking about, I think, is kind of the essential truth of who these people are. And you've got to always keep that in mind, don't you?
Yeah, you always have to figure out, like, how are they growing or devolving? But what's happening with them, you know, and make sure that there's a fork in the road. And one road for some of these characters clearly leads to a better place. And the other road clearly leads to hell. And people take hell for some reason. Sometimes hell's comfortable. Depending where you come from, it's like a warm blanket, you know? It's like, well, that I understand. Salvation, I don't really understand, so it's a little freaky for me. So you know what? I'm going to go down hell.
My guest who clearly needs my help is Bill Hader. We're talking about the third season of Barry.
This has turned into a therapy session.
That's what we do here. But it's funny because in this season, there's a scene where Sally, who's now a showrunner, says something about a line that she doesn't want to repeat. And you realize that line that she doesn't repeat is basically been this sort of thing that's informed her character.
Yeah.
And she has some awareness of that. And I just thought, as you were talking about people sort of wrapping themselves in this blanket of discomfort and self-awareness or lack thereof, that scene really just sort of gave me chills seeing it.
Yeah, no. And you do that. You do that in life. Her art is more self-aware than she is. The thing that she, and that happens, you know, where you watch something you've made and you go, oh my God, it's right there, you know? I'm looking at it. I made the thing and I'm looking right at it. And this is about this thing that I'm experiencing, but I don't know it.
So much of this show is what I've seen in so many characters that you've done, especially on SNL, with people who just kind of talk too much and don't hear what they're saying as they're talking. And that's Sally and it's Gene and it's NoHo Hank. It's even to some extent, it's Fuchs. And Barry isn't that person. So just as you were talking about what would I do if I were playing this character, I could sort of see, yeah, that trap that some of these, we've talked about this before, in fact, that some of these characters you've created and played are people just don't know when to shut up.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think that's probably why I find the other characters more interesting.
Really?
Yeah, it's funny because when we're writing the show, I'm always like, Barry's the last thing we end up writing. Like the amount, like at least once a season so far, we've had a moment where someone will go, hey, Barry's not really in the show. He's not really in the episode. Episode 7 of season 2, where Barry auditions for Jay Roach and Allison Jones. We came up with all that like 2 weeks before we shot the episode. Because initially it was like, he was just like walking around. He literally was just moping around. And then we were doing a rewrite and one of the writers said, you know, Barry doesn't really do anything this episode. And we were in a pre-production meeting for the episode.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, oh yeah, I guess he doesn't. And we're all sitting there kind of looking at each other. It's like, well, and so this pre-production meeting kind of turned into a writer's meeting, which I gave Aida Rogers, our producer, a heart attack. Cause then we were going, well, maybe he does this or maybe he does this. And she's going, oh Jesus, wait. We gotta build this, you know? And then finally it was like, well, what if he goes on an audition? Like he gets an audition because he's the right height and not because of if he's a good actor or not. It's solely based that they're looking for someone who's 6'2". And then that kind of opened up the whole thing and his relationship with Sally. And it's like, oh, we have Sally getting mad. Now she has a reason for being mad in this episode. She kind of spins out and there was never a reason for her to spin out. So it's like you find that one thing and then it like locks into place and then you're like, oh, this now makes sense, you know, but that wasn't there. The whole scene with Cousineau where he's teaching me and for the audition or helping me and the whole J. Roach stuff, all that, like that was all, yeah, like a week. It was thrown together really fast.
We'll take a break with my guest who's apparently figuring a lot of things out on the fly, Bill Hader, the creator and star.
I'm figuring it out right now, actually.
Well, that's why we're here. The creator and star of Barry on HBO is The Treatment. I promise you there's more to come. We'll help with a lot more things. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
My guest who's still figuring things out is Bill Hader. He's the co-creator and star, of course, of Barry on HBO. It's The Treatment. I think Barry's an interesting character because he's somebody who doesn't want to be seen, who's taking on this endeavor where he has to be seen all the time. And I just thought that's so rife with possibility, both sort of comic and tragic, that Barry's the first thing you would try to crack in all these episodes because that aspect of wanting to be paid attention to, but also having to sort of sneak around, having these two things at war with each other, it's such a great character.
It's like a weird kind of impossible scenario for someone. I definitely think when Alec Berg and I first talked about the idea, that was one of the things we that immediately kind of drew us to it, which was like, oh, like of a hitman, someone who lives in the shadows and needs to be anonymous, decides to be an actor, which is someone who lives in a spotlight and wants to be known. Like those two things don't go together. That's really, like you said, really funny and everything. But the interesting thing about this new season is that idea is like morphed, I think, kind of into something else. You know, it's like we watched it go from seasons 1 and 2. And when you start writing season 3, you're going, well, are we still talking about the same ideas? Or again, we don't really talk in terms of themes, but it's kind of like, where is he at? And is that a thing that's important to him anymore?
so much of the show in terms of characters about compartmentalization and people who can step very easily from one area to another. But for Barry, he's got these very strict lines drawn around his two lives, and they start to bleed into each other. And the other thing that the show is about so often, too, is people having like no confidence except that one thing they can do well, be it acting or murder.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, I think that's where the show came about, was because when I was on Saturday Night Live, the one thing that growing up I had confidence in was that I was funny. I was never very good at school. I watched a ton of movies. I read a lot of books, but I knew I could make people laugh and I could do voices and stuff. And then I got insanely lucky and got on a chance to audition for SNL, and I got it. And then the live aspect of the show was incredibly difficult for me. And I would talk to Alec Berg about that. And then it was like, oh, what if it's about putting that emotion into this scenario where it's a guy who the thing that he's good at is murdering people, and how that hurts you. But you're right. It is kind of also with Sally and Jean. And, you know, I think the thing Fuchs, Stephen Root, who's amazing, I think the thing he's good at is manipulating people. And Noho Hank, his thing is like, you know, he's polite. He's lovely, you know. And it's all these things. And then it's like, yeah, what happens when those things are challenged, I guess.
But this season is this thing where it's really kind of happening where everybody's lives is this messiness of trying to sort of find your art is spilling over into everybody's lives in ways that I think makes the show much more interesting. Like just watching Barry's ability, and this, we won't give too much away here, to sort of become like Gene or like Sally, where he certainly knows he's learning how to manipulate in ways that seem to surprise him.
Yeah, I'm always wondering how self-aware he is. And I mean, he's definitely in a lot of denial this season. But yeah, I mean, when we're writing it, it's always kind of, it's just finding that balance, which is really difficult, of going, this works as a story. And you're kind of always hoping the characters are driving the story, but is it honest? Is it honest for that person? There's certain scenes with, you know, there's a scene with Barry and Sally in episode 2 that's really hard to watch for some people, but it was always kind of like, I think it's just honest. And if you don't go there, then it's, at least for me, when I watch things or read things, I feel like when people are kind of hedging and wanting you to like somebody, or and you're just not going to that honest place, I get a little, I feel cheated.
Even though I think you're right that Barry is fighting self-awareness, because, or at least he's so siloed all parts of his life that so he can tell himself that he's this when he's not this, he tends to be sort of honest about what it is he's doing when he tells people about it. And the other characters are the kind of people who, because they have that spillover where they can just switch on and off as actors do, or even Noho Hank, who becomes this sort of character when he's trying to be charming and stepping on his own dialogue as he's doing it. And in this season, Barry seems to be becoming more like those people where there's this spillage into these parts of himself that he kept sectioned away. And to me, that's what's making this season so much more interesting, that you don't have that kind of support of the acting class. And I just wondered if you like that, that there's this sort of feeling of shifting sand in this season.
Yeah. This season was much more, it was like writing a different show at times, because most TV shows, it's like, oh, well, then you go to the acting class set. And it was like doing Cheers and saying, okay, we're getting rid of the bar this season. You know? And you're just like, wait, what? And it's like, no, we're just going to follow Sam around and we're going to deal with his you know, it's like, wait, what? But there is something fun about it in a way, and very liberating about it, but also a little, it was hard, you know, it forced you in a way to have to ask harder questions about the characters and the situations. And this idea of forgiveness just started to bubble up, this idea of forgiveness having to be earned, you know, and all these things. And how much of that is within us, how much of that is in the culture right now, or whatever it is, you know, I mean, most of it, especially the last part of the season was vastly rewritten during COVID. this stuff can't help but seep into it, you know, in some way. But it's like you were saying that line with Sally where she says a thing about herself and kind of doesn't realize it.
It's the truth. My guest who's also gaining some self-awareness is Bill Hader. He's the third season of Barry on HBO. But I mean, there's this thing. We're talking in the first half because I feel like it's kind of a show about addiction in its way. And you were touching on that when you're talking about people sort of like revisiting hell because it's comfortable. And there are speeches that Barry gives to Gene in this season that are almost like classic 12-step sort of conversations. This is your second chance. And also the desperation. But the desperation subtextually, as Barry is saying this to him, he's trying to believe it himself as he's saying it to Cousineau. I just thought that was really interesting.
Season two was, you talk about addiction, we did kind of talk about it in terms of like Barry's an alcoholic who, you know, instead of drinking, it's murdering people. And it's kind of like him realizing like, oh, this wasn't a thing that I wasn't manipulated by Fuchs or anything. This is a thing that has always been a way I've been accepted my whole life. The first time I ever felt like I was accepted and that I was good at something was when I murdered somebody. And there's like an addiction to feeling accepted and feeling like, look, I'm good at something. And also he's got, to put it lightly, rage issues. And that season two is him being like on the wagon. And then the last scene of season two was him going on a binge. Like he falls off the wagon big time. And that just helped us again, like emotionally, the shame that he's feeling. Even I think while that end sequence is happening, there's a lot of shame. I want to hurt myself. There's something kind of, you know, suicidal about it, you know. That addiction thing is very much there. But again, it's never like we're consciously, in season three at least, season two we did, season three, it was never like a conscious thing. Again, it's like kind of what we're talking about. Like these characters are always trying to, they're trying to deal with themselves. And it's like, they're like someone asked me like, what would be a good tagline for the season? And I was like, the chickens have come home to roost. Like, it's just about... You know, there's consequences. And as you get older, you start to realize this about yourself. You see patterns in your behavior or things that you do and that you want to change. And that's kind of what everybody in some level is dealing with.
No, as you're saying these things, though, Bill, I guess what I was thinking about, too, and knowing you a bit as I do, and the thing that manifests itself in a lot of ways in this show is that there's a constant surprise and there's almost something abrupt that happens like almost every third scene that sort of catches people off guard. And this thing I know about you, whether you'll admit to yourself or not, is that you kind of have a low threshold for boredom.
Yeah, it drives the writing room crazy because I'm like, ugh. Or I've seen this scene. You know, we're like movie nerds. It's like, I've seen this scene. And it's like, yeah, it works for a reason, Bill. You know, I do have that.
And that's where also this kind of element of fear plays into it, because these surprises are constantly making people sort of stand, or rather recognize how they respond to scary circumstances. Given that you sort of trimmed away a lot of the stuff that might be sort of the rubric of easy comedy from the first couple of seasons, it makes those surprises feel all the more, I think, chilling in this third season, you know?
Yeah. People often talk about the tone of the show and how do you get that tone, or I don't know if this makes sense, but it's like taking the genre out of it has always been a big thing of not thinking of it in terms of genre. You know, I think what brought us into it was genre. But like, as Alex said, when I said, what if it's a hitman? And he said, hitman's like dog catcher. It's like a thing that only exists in the movies. It's like not a real profession, you know? But it came in as genre, and then it's like stripping away the genre, and that it's not comedy, it's not a drama. You're just kind of following these things along. And what we tend to do in writing is we usually write it the first drafts, and then when we're in the writer's room, it's usually the kind of most dramatic version of it. And then almost like, you know, an episode of Mystery Science Theater or something, you kind of read through it, and then you start like making jokes. A good example of that was in season two, when they first meet Esther And initially it was just the scene where Noah Hank and Cristobal are talking to the Burmese boss, Esther. And we wrote it very straight. And that scene was that way forever. And then finally, when they were reading it, and I was like, what if she just puts a knife in her hand? She's, let's just show how tough she is. And Hank goes, oh, sweet baby Jesus. You know, it's like that stuff, you know, if that tends to be how the humor starts to enter into it. And then conversely, when you do stuff that's humorous, then I start to get antsy in that way too. And then you start to go, well, God, wouldn't it be interesting if this suddenly happened now that can take you off guard? Or, you know, the Ronnie Lilly episode, like the violence in that, the way it erupted was kind of like that.
If it weren't so violent, it would be almost slapstick.
Yeah, it's almost like a slapstick thing that then you go, no, you got to push it further so it's not too slapsticky. And then when we started shooting it, it was like, oh, so this is like, it hurts, you know? There's no music to it. There's no, you know, it was different.
No, when I said that, I let you know. I told you that I thought was like an incredible piece of staging because by that point, we know Barry well enough that it's not just funny anymore. And, yeah. And by this third season, when those same kinds of abrupt shocks happen, those surprises, they're not just funny. We know these people well enough now that there's an extra level of drama or hurt or understanding, comprehension from us because we now have an emotional attachment. So it's almost like the writing has become kind of cleaner.
No, I agree. Yeah, I think it was stripping away stuff, I think is a good way of putting it, where, you know, it's kind of like anything. It's like you meet somebody and it's like the first season, it's a bit like a first date, you know? You're just like, hey, look how funny I am. You know? And now it's like, we know you. And it's kind of like, yeah, you know, it's like, this is what it is, you know? So, you know, it's the way, like, Sally is a good example. When you first meet her in the show, it's like, she's this ingenue and she's very kind of, you know, talented and sweet. And she takes him in and she's like helpful and he has a crush on her and everything. And then as you get to know her, you're like, oh my gosh, she's really self-involved and she's hyper ambitious and all that. And so, yeah, when you say, well, what if she gets her own show? What's that going to be like? It's like the mask is down. You know, all those kind of pleasantries are gone. You know her now. And now it's like, okay, well, we have to write for this new version of her and go deeper with the character. Again, it's that thing of like, well, if I'm playing Sally, here's the questions I'm asking. And then Sarah Goldberg asked 20 more questions that are equally interesting and better. And we get to something, I think, that's just deeper, for lack of a better word.
I mean, we could do this for hours, but you got to come back and do it again, because again, it's been way too long, Bill. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man.
Oh, always great talking to you. My guest, who again has learned something about himself today, is Bill Hader. the third season of Barry on HBO.
I had a real breakthrough today.
Just leave $20 on the door on the way out.
I'm going to go full razor's edge.
Let me thank some people here while my guest is talking to himself. Production staff includes Katie Gilchrist. The show was edited and produced by Rebecca Mooney. Good luck with this. It's The Treatment. To catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.